Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. What does it mean to be asleep? Both Paul and Jesus here in this gospel use this image. And really, it's a very scriptural idea as well. Jesus uses it in other places as well. When talking about Lazarus had died, and Jesus makes the strange comment, "He is only asleep, but I intend to awaken him." Paul doesn't really have a great story about people falling asleep. The only story he has is Eutychus. Eutychus was listening to him preach, and Eutychus fell asleep and fell out of a third-story window. That didn't go so well. So if you're feeling a little drowsy, just stay away from the windows, please. Paul seems to be pretty clear what he means about sleep here in our second reading. He's talking about our death, to fall asleep with Christ, to die with Christ. So, once again, I pose the question, what does it mean then for us to be asleep? Let's take a look at this gospel passage clearly. The story of the 10 virgins. Notice, though, that the bridegroom was long delayed. And what happened to all of them? They all became drowsy, and they all fell asleep. Kind of strange then at the end Jesus says, "Therefore stay awake," right? They all fell asleep, and he says, "Therefore stay awake." We'll get there. Pause. The bridegroom was long delayed. We, as a church, have been waiting for the bridegroom for 2,000 years. We continue to wait. And in the meantime, many of us have fallen asleep, waiting for that bridegroom to come. But then the alarm is sounded. "Behold the bridegroom." Notice also what time of day it is when the bridegroom finally comes. It's midnight. the darkest hour, signifying that we will all be in the dark as to that hour, as to that time. We don't know it. Jesus mentions that a few times in the scriptures. We don't know the time. So be aware always. So the bridegroom comes. And all 10 virgins, they woke up. They lighted their lamps. 5 realized that they didn't have enough oil for their lamps. So they turned to the other 5 virgins. Hey, give us some of your oil. We can't. We might not have enough for ourselves if we give some to you. So what is the oil? What does the oil represent? There's a parallel to this in the Sermon on the Mount. Earlier in the book, chapter 5. So we're in chapter 25. This is back in chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And you see a very, almost a parallel passage here. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And so we see this here as well in the gospel. "Lord, Lord, open the door for us. Amen, I say to you, I do not know you." So what's the difference in the Sermon on the Mount? Those who do the will of my Father. And so the oil is doing the will of the Father in our life, continuing to do those works, continuing to do the will of God in our life. That builds up that oil stock in our hearts that keeps the light of Christ shining. All different images are now starting to come together. The light of Christ, which we are all given at our baptism. We're given the light of Christ at our baptism. Typically, the Godfather is handed the candle, and we are instructed to keep that light burning brightly in our life. And you need a source to keep that light burning. Otherwise, if we let that light go out in our heart, if we let that light no longer burn, we become unrecognizable at the gate, left out of the eternal banquet. And so Jesus, coming back around, he concludes with that statement, "Therefore, stay awake." But if we use our current definition of staying awake, that seems like God is asking us to achieve immortality, right? Therefore, don't die. Duh. Okay, so we now have a new sense of the word to stay awake. We're now using a different sense here. Jesus is introducing a new sense of the word. Well, I could say he's introducing a new sense, but this sense is also incredibly scriptural. Just look at Psalm 127. "Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." So we are to stay awake in our own souls. We are to stay spiritually awake like watchmen, always looking for the return of the beloved, always waiting for that moment where the cry will sound, "Behold, the bridegroom comes." Now I want to be clear as well. This is not to be taken in a tinfoil hat sort of way. We're not supposed to be, you know, "Oh, this person says that Jesus is going to come in the next 3 weeks. He's going to come at this date. Be prepared." No, it's not that at all. It's this constant state of readiness, not the tinfoil hat version, but the Boy Scouts always prepared kind of way. So what does it mean then to be spiritually awake? We look at our first reading, which I have to pull up here. So we're looking at our first reading, and notice that watchman type of phrase, "We watch for the coming of the Lord." Now I gotta find it. Oh, come on. There we go. She is readily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation for their desire. Whoever watches for her at dawn shall not be disappointed. Whoever watches for her shall not be disappointed. So hopefully it's obvious at this point that how do we stay awake? It's through prayer. It's constantly remaining vigilant, remaining at the feet of Jesus, constantly remaining in communion with him. She, who is wisdom, also Jesus in the New Testament sense, she makes her own rounds, seeking those worthy of her, and graciously appears to them in the ways, and meets them with all solicitude. None of this is about fear. We should not fear the Lord coming again. We should not fear our death. It's about beauty, wisdom, truth. Prayer is that spiritual seeking of wisdom, truth, beauty, goodness. Prayer is where all of that is found if you have the patience to stay awake.